from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Wednesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning those dirty, rotten Australians bouncing poor old Jimmy Anderson in the head. Running, not that good for you either, and beating up on the BSA. But before any of that, what's with confidence being so ropey at the moment? Aren't things still great?
There's no reason for confidence to plummet. The world is, by and large, okay. Our part in it is prosperous. The tourists are still coming. Our terms of trade are still good. But post the government's arrival, the uncertainty has crept in, which in some respects is not surprising. Happens to new governments. But that is where leadership and communication comes in. And that, sadly, is where they are badly failing, and as a result, the air goes out of the balloon. The dollar falls, prices start to rise, businesses start to worry. That worry leads to decisions around stock, around hiring. It's like an airborne disease. It spreads. Business caught it, now the consumers followed suit, and it's a vicious cycle. The services sector, two-thirds of our economic activity, relies on spending. We don't feel good, we don't spend. We don't spend. The businesses that worried about growth say, see, told you so, and so it goes. The job of the government is to convince us that the direction they have in mind makes sense and will bring prosperity, or at least continue to bring prosperity. But this unique situation, this reality they face of being less popular than the opposition, of being in charge by quirk of a system, not widespread support, is starting to hurt them already. Governments live and die on economic success, on the punt of feeling good about their lot. These numbers make for stark reading. They get January to work out what to do to turn it round, or they face a hell of a long year in 2018.
I can kind of understand it. At this time of year, it is hard to be confident because, you know, right at the moment, when you're under maximum stress both at work and at home, just being confident that the universe isn't just going to come to an end any moment is hard. It's hard to do. You know what I mean? Not very confident if you're an English tail ender facing the bounces to the head from Australian bowlers. That's the main reason we got John Morrison on about, but we also had to ask him what he thought about the West Indies chances going into the one-day series after being trounced against the Black Caps in the tests.
What do you reckon about the one-days? Is there going to be more for it, more in it for us? Are the Windies going to be more competitive?
Well, I think the shorter form, they'll be better. And they've got Chris Gayle here, who is a terrific hitter. And this young guy, Lewis, also is not a bad batsman. But half the good players in the West Indies are playing as sort of, mercenaries around the world in the short form of the game. Seven different states make up the West Indies. But the sad thing, I think, Mike, is they're an absolute shadow of their former self.
Yeah.
I think they've all rushed off to American sport, and the American universities are whipping down there. They've got the TV there, so they've all got, you know, big shoes and back to front hats and bouncing basketballs around. And the old days of playing cricket on the beach when I was there in the 70s, everyone played cricket. Yeah. They didn't do anything else. Yeah. And every island team, would have about four huge big black fast bowlers that terrorised you.
Was John Morrison just saying there that the West Indians aren't as black as they used to be? Is that what he was saying? Not sure about that. That could be a BSA complaint on the way. More on those shortly. But first, running. It ain't all that.
Part of the reason I run, actually the reason I run is because I started walking. And the reason I started walking was I thought we better do something for the fitness that's, you know, easily accessible. I can do it at any time and I can be into it and quite enjoyable. So I started the walking. Then I got bored with walking. I thought, how can I make this finish quicker? So I started running. And then so I started running and running. So I'm quite a good runner now, as I've told you before, and I do about 5Ks a day and it's all fun and well. But my overarching theory is that by running, dropping weight, being healthy, pumping my blood and getting all the cholesterol out of my veins and arteries, somehow I can do anything for myself that I want to because I'm a runner. So if I want a burger, I can have a burger. If I want a bit of wine, I can have a bit of wine because I'm a runner and I'm healthy and I burn it all off. Unfortunately, the research is out this morning and says if you've ever smoked or drunk heavily in your life, running 100 marathons, and I certainly don't run 100 marathons or anywhere close to it, but running 100 marathons will not make up for those bad habits. 50 men who had run 3,500 marathons it made absolutely no difference. So if you're a smoker, you're a drinker, you're eating the burgers and the chips thinking that all that running is going to do your world good, it's almost as bad as getting pinged by the BSA.
They are miserable, though.
They are miserable.
And you are happy, relatively.
I think the happiness is going to see me right. Hopefully till the late 70s, maybe the early 80s. Maybe even into the 90s like Leighton. Who would know?
I'm assuming he's talking about the decades of his life and not the decades of the century. Because I don't care how much running he does, I don't think he's going to make it to 20,090. Maybe. I mean, who knows what they'll do with the technology by then. And I wonder how many BSA complaints he will have survived by that stage.
My Christmas gift from the BSA, the Broadcasting Standards Authority, is I misled the nation. I'm sorry, nation, I misled you. I didn't, of course. But they don't have a sense of humour or indeed any understanding of the realities of broadcasting, like you shouldn't take everything literally. This concerns comments I made on 7 Sharp regarding voting for the Maori Party. I said to Tony, Tony, I said you can't vote for the Maori Party because you're not on the Maori roll. This was a throwaway line. It was a flippant remark, given Tony was never voting for the Maori Party and everyone knew it. The next night, after the aggrieved had hit the roof, I clarified the comment. My point was and is this. The Maori Party is not a list party. It is not a party that gets above 5% of the vote. Can you use your party or list vote to vote for them without being on the Maori roll? Of course you can. Of course you can. I assumed that we all knew this, given this is the system we've been operating under for 20 years. It was implied or inferred. On live television, you see, you don't have time to outline literally every piece of minutiae, especially when you're firing off a one-liner. So I said for the Maori Party to get into Parliament, the way they were currently in Parliament, they needed to win an electorate seat. And to vote for a person in a Maori electorate, you had to be enrolled on the Maori roll. But the BSA was having none of this, and so sadly, once again, we have paid for a bunch of humourless, earnest clipboarders to sit around pontificating and writing reports. The irony being, they decided a statement had to be made rectifying my outlandish behaviour, and it had to be done before 7 Sharp took a summer break. They released their report yesterday, 5 days after the show had gone off air, and they might have known the show had gone off air because the final show got quite a bit of coverage for other reasons. So what's been achieved here? Nothing. The show's finished. The election's over. I've quit. We've paid for what? What changes? What's the point? The only clarification needed is why we have a BSA that busies itself with such nonsense.
Now, weirdly, not everybody agreed with Mike's views on the BSA there. A lot of people did, of course. Who knew people would get so exercised about this kind of niche little committee?
Another person says, have your little tantrum about how you think the BSA are humourless clipboard holders because you're just reinforcing exactly what they're meant to be. Excuse me, they're an authority, not your best friend's crazy drunk uncle. Show some consideration to your other fellow journalists, I'm not a journalist, who actually respect their profession and pull your head in. John says, cannot understand why your haters follow you every day. Because they love it, John. Because they can't get enough of it. Why can't people live with a more positive outlook on life is beyond reason. That is true. I agree with you there. Sandra, you didn't mislead. I didn't know I could vote for the Maori Party being on a general roll. Oh, seriously? You can vote for any party. That's the system we run in this country. You can pick any party you want. You can give them your party vote. You've got two votes. You've got a party vote. And you can vote for literally any party you like. And then you can vote for an electorate, but you've got to choose what electorate you're in. Obviously, it's the one you live in. But do you want to be on the Maori roll or do you want to be on the general roll? That was the distinction we make. You know, you've always been able to vote for any old party you want.
I didn't realise that the BSA people were mandated to be boring.
I don't know if it's my strong thinking is it might be a prerequisite.
Yeah.
I think if you turned up with the application, if I turned up, for example, because I'd be ideal to sit on the BSA because I know a lot about broadcasting. I've been around for 35 years. I've been on television, radio, and in the print media. I would know a lot about broadcasting. What do you reckon my chances of getting on are?
Well, it depends how would you answer this question then. So I'm interviewing you to be on the BSA, and I say, are you prepared to be a boring clipboard holding killjoy?
No.
And not have any fun or any sense of humour.
No, I'd say, how about we go out for lunch?
Well,
How about we have our first meeting over
lunch? You might not be the person we're looking for.
And then I'd just look at the various complaints. I'd go, boring, boring, He wrote last month and the month before. I don't think I'd take it seriously, enough, to be honest.
I mean, because they might get home after a hard day's, you know, not having fun and not getting jokes. And then the real, like, hilarious, you know, crack
you
open a few vinos.
Do you open a few vinos?
Work through the Reader's Digest. What do you call that one? The jokes of the day or whatever that is, that
section? Do you think anyone in the committee said, what does flippant mean? Does anyone know what flippant means? Flippant? Anybody? Look it up. Google it. Google flippant. See what it means.
The lighter side of life. Or the lighter side. I think, was that what it was? There was sort of jokes in the Reader's Digest. I'd read that one. There was another one that was a bit like it, but it was called something else. And then there was a page in which you wrote word power. I like that one too. Always found that very interesting, although I'm not sure it did me any good, to be honest. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap, a bit loose. And tomorrow will be the last one, so I'm sure it'll be completely off the axles, off the wheels, off the whole cart by then. So it could be a good listen. See you then.